I am blessed to be here this evening, thankful for this opportunity, and thankful to see the faces of so many friends. It's good to be among friends, and some of you are old friends. Old friends are best friends, and we're blessed to be here this night. We pray the Lord's blessings will be upon us. I invite your attention to the gospel according to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. My text is found in verse number 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. My text has four words. There they crucified him. My message has a title comprised of those same four words. There they crucified him. My message has four points. There they crucified him. And if you understand my subject, I think that you will agree that the most important point is that fourth word, him. There they crucified him. Who is him? I suppose the best brief biographical sketch of Jesus that you'll find is found in the book of Acts chapter 10. Go back, if you will, to the book of Acts chapter 10. Peter gives a brief biographical sketch of Jesus in beginning in verse number 38. I do not know that for its briefness and for telling us whom Jesus Christ is, I do not know that you'll find a better, but look in verse 38, that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. I do not know that you would find a better brief biographical sketch of him than the one that you just read. But the part of that biographical sketch that I want to emphasize now is this point. He went about doing good. There they crucified him. Him who went about doing good. You could have followed the steps of Jesus Christ by all the goodness that was in the way. Come with me. Let's see if we can see where he has been. And so we walk along in that land and we've come to a man and we ask him, Tell me, sir, has Jesus been by this way? And he says, oh, yes, he has. You just take one look at me and you can tell he has been here. Look at me. I'm here sitting, clothed, and in my right mind. Just a short time ago, I was a demoniac, possessed of demons. I was naked. I was running through the tombs. No man could tame me. And Jesus walked by. I ran toward him, but he did not flinch. I ran toward him and he said, what is your name? And the demons replied, we are legion, for we are many. And he drove them out. Yes, he did. He drove them out. When he did so, I became sedated and calm. No man could bind me before, but look at me now. Here I am. I'm sitting and I'm clothed and in my right mind. I tell you, he has been here because there's goodness everywhere he's been. Which way did he go? That way. So there we go. Tell me, sir, has Jesus of Nazareth been this way? Have you heard of him? Have I heard of Jesus of Nazareth, you ask? I'll say I have. Indeed, his name was the first that ever I heard. I was a deaf mute when he came this way. It was communicated to me that Jesus of Nazareth was coming by. And I came to him. I knew that if anyone could heal me, it had to be him. I had heard that he had healed others. Perhaps he would heal me. I believed he could. And I came to Jesus and, well, I was mute. I could not speak, but he heard my heart. He knew what I wanted. He opened my ears and the first words that I heard were, your sins are forgiven you. He opened my mouth and I'm glad to say to you that his name was the first name that ever I spoke. Oh yes, he's been here this way. I know because I've heard him and I've spoken his word. Which way did he go? That way. So we went that way. We came to another man and asked him, tell me, sir, have you seen Jesus of Nazareth? Have I seen Jesus of Nazareth, you ask? I'll say I have. Indeed, he was the first person whom I ever saw. I was here, sitting by the road, begging alms. I heard a commotion and I asked, what is this noise? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth is walking by. And I hollered out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they told me to shut up, but I would not. I would not. All the louder I cried, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Well, I heard the traffic stop. I heard him tell them to bring me to him. He said, sir, what do you want? Well, I tell you, if you've been blind all your life, there's only one thing you want. I told him, I want to see. And he opened my eyes, and the first thing that I ever saw was Jesus of Nazareth doing good to me. He went about doing good. Which way did he go? That way. We went that way, and everywhere we went, they told us the same stories. A woman came and said that she had had an issue of blood for many years, spent all her livelihood on doctors, and none of them could heal her. She thought, if I could but touch the border of his garment, I think I could be healed. And she told us that as she walked by, she came up and touched the border of his garment, and she felt the virtue and the power coming through him. And the fountain of her blood dried. She now was clean. Yes, she said, he's been this way, and he did good everywhere he went. There are others. One tells us that he had palsy. The Lord healed him. Another tells us he was arthritic. The Lord healed him. There was a man, he said, that he was sitting there in a mat by a pool one day, could not walk, and Jesus said, sir, take up your bed and walk. And he says, I can. Jesus said, yes, you can. Take it up and walk. And he said, I did. He told me to do it. I did it. I picked up my bed and I walked. Another man came by and he says, I'll tell you what he did for me. I was a leper. I was not even allowed in town. I had to stay outside. I was unclean, could not come into the company of other people. Jesus walked up to me and touched me. Put his hand. No man had ever done that. He said, "Sir, be clean. Be clean." And he was clean. Another woman came and she says, "I'll tell you what he did for me. I was a whore. I was caught in the very act of adultery. The Pharisees had found me and they brought me to Jesus and cast me at his feet. And they said to me, 'The law says she must be stoned. What do you say?'" And she said, "I knew what was coming. He would have me stoned. This man who kept the law." And he looked around and he said, "Whichever one of you is without fault, you go ahead and cast the first stone." And they all walked away. And she said, he asked me, he said, "Where are your accusers?" And she said, "Well, sir, thanks to you, I have none." "Well, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Another came and said, "I was there one day. He had taught us, and oh, what a teacher he was. He taught in the language of the people. We all understood everything that he had to say. He spoke as one having authority and not as the scribes and Pharisees. And we were hungry, and there was no food, no place to obtain it. He took a few pieces of fish and bread and fed a few thousand." Another said, "Well, I was not there, but I saw the same thing on another occasion." Another said, "I remember his preaching. Just everywhere he went about doing good. I remember him saying to us, 'Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'll take your burden. I'll give you rest.'" And another said, "He's the only man from whom God spoke from heaven saying, 'This is my son, my well-beloved, in whom I am well pleased.'" I'm telling you, my friend, we could go on and on. And everywhere we go, you'll find this. You can follow the steps of Jesus by the goodness that is there along the way. This man went about doing good, never sinned. Can you imagine? We, all of us, have sinned enough tonight to cast us all to hell. Even since we walked into this, in through that door this night, we all have sinned. This man never sinned. He never sinned in a deed he committed, in a word he spoke. Even in a thought he imagined, he never sinned. Went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed by the devil. God was with him. Well, God was with him, but man wanted no part. That is to him whom they crucified. There they crucified him. Look at that next word. Well, the next to the last word. There, they crucified him. Crucified. Consider what it was to be crucified for just a moment. It was a Roman method of execution. The Jews did not practice it. Jesus was under the authority of the Jews in his first trial. And they wanted him killed, but they did not want themselves to be the ones to do it. They wanted the Romans to do it. And they wanted it to be as hideous and as terrible a death as it could be. They handed him to the Romans. This death was a Roman method of execution. This death, this crucifixion, this manner of death that Jesus of Nazareth suffered, it was a demeaning method of dying. Although the Romans crucified, they did not crucify Roman citizens. They crucified only other people, lower class people. This was a torturous way of dying. Before they crucified him, a garrison of Roman soldiers tied him to a stake, and with their whip, which probably was a cat of nine tails, they plowed furrows up and down his back and across his body. They beat him. They buffeted him. They took the palms of their hands. They smote him. They plucked the beard from his face. They said, "He's a king. He needs a robe." So they mocked him with a robe. "He's a king. He needs a crown." They plaited one of thorns and crushed it to that holy brow. "King needs a scepter." They took a reed and put it in his hand, said, "Here's your scepter." Then they took it from him and beat him with it. And that was only the beginning. Only the beginning. They made him carry his cross until he stumbled under the weight of it. You could have marked his tracks then. In his life, you could have marked his tracks by the goodness that was along the way. Now you just follow the blood. There he goes. They took him to a place of execution. They laid him on the ground on that cross, and there they drove spikes into his hands and into his feet. There was a hole dug. They brought the cross up to it and just dropped it down in. His sinews, his nerves, his muscles, he is in one rack of pain now. They crucified him. It was a torturous death. It was a shameful death. He was stripped of all his clothing so that these soldiers could gamble for it there at the foot of his cross. Up there, stripped of his clothing, he was made sin for me on that tree and had not a stretch of garment to cover him. It was also a shameful way of dying, because here we read he was crucified between two malefactors, two thieves. Three men crucified one day. The man in the middle, he's the worst. He's the worst. That would be Jesus of Nazareth when there they crucified him. It was a heathen way of dying. It was a torturous way of dying. It was a shameful way of dying. It was an abasing way of dying, and it was an accursed way to die. God Almighty decreed that cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Cursed! And there he is, on a tree. Cursed! Men have done all they could to him. Now God puts a curse on him and turns his back on his own son. My God, why have you forsaken me? There, they crucified him. Third point, they crucified him. Who are they? Best commentary on that probably is in the fourth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Peter in verse number 25 of Acts 4. "Who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth," that's who crucified him, "the kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Who crucified him? Jews and Gentiles. Jews and Romans crucified him. In concert together. Jews and Gentiles despised each other, but in Jesus they had a common enemy. And there they crucified him. That Sanhedrin had paid a man, Judas Iscariot, 30 pieces of silver to betray the Lord. Judas betrayed him. A group of soldiers from the temple complex had gone and taken Jesus and brought him in about midnight and illegally in a kangaroo court against the law of God. They conducted a session there to try him with false witnesses brought in. They could find not even their witnesses to bring their witnesses together until finally they asked him, "Tell us," the high priest said, "are you the Son of the Blessed?" And he said, "I am." And the Sanhedrin said, "You heard what he said." This Sanhedrin, 70 elders of Israel, led by the chief priests and the other priests and the scribes and Pharisees and Saul of Tarsus probably among them. And they found him guilty. They crucified him, not with their hands, but with their motives, with their hearts, and sent him off to Pilate. Pilate had the authority to have him crucified. Pilate did not want to crucify him. He was afraid of the man and washed his hands of him, but, well, he would not stop the people. King Herod, king of the Jews, he most certainly did not want anybody who might be thought of to be competition as king of the Jews. Yes, he had him crucified. He was complicit in this as well. The Jewish people were complicit in this. Just a few days earlier, Jesus had walked into or had rode into Jerusalem, and they threw their garments in the way and said, "Hosanna to the King!" And now, when they stand before Pilate, they say, "Crucify him. Crucify him." They crucify him. Here we go. The Sanhedrin, Herod, Pontius Pilate, the people of Israel, Roman soldiers, and Moose Parks. Moose Parks. He's there because of my sins. My sins nailed him to that tree. Take a look at that soldier with that spike in his hand. Watch him as he drives the spike into the hand of Jesus, nailing him to the tree. When he turns around, that might be your face, you see. My sins nailed him there. There they crucified him. There they crucified him. There they crucified him. Where is there? Luke says it's Calvary. The other three gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and John, say that it is Golgotha, which is translated the place of a skull. Calvary, Golgotha, the place of a skull. And that is more or less the translation. Golgotha is the Hebrew and the Aramaic term. It is said to be the place of the skull. Actually, that is not the best translation. It is simply mean the skull is all it means. The Greek text uses the word cranion. That's the word whence we get the word cranium. You know what a cranium is? It's a skull. Our word Calvary is the Latin translation. And that is a beautiful word. Calvary. would not be so beautiful were it not for what happened there. I mean, some may say, well, you know, Sheol is a pretty word. Might sound good, but not a beautiful word to me because of what I associate with it. But when I think of Calvary, and it means simply the skull, it is said that it derived the name Calvary because it had been used as a place of execution. So often there were skulls lying around. Perhaps that's true. There's a rather fanciful idea that the very skull of the first man, Adam, was found there. I put no stock in that. We do not know where it was. That's just as well. It would be made an idol. But it appears that perhaps there was a place, a promontory, a place that was clearly visible that had the shape of a skull. There is a place like that just outside Jerusalem. The skull. There they crucified him. It was a visible place. We know that because we read of the people that came by walking into Jerusalem. It was a high season. And Jerusalem was going to be a full city. And the people are coming by. They want Jesus crucified where he can be clearly seen. A promontory, a high place. Calvary. The skull. Golgotha. A prominent place. And a place that was outside the camp. Outside the camp. He would not be crucified inside the holy city. He would not be crucified close to the holy temple. He would be crucified outside where lepers had to live, where the refuse was taken and dumped. Put him out there. That's what men thought of him. That's what men thought of him. Take him outside the camp. There they crucified him. Where is there? Tonight, there is here. Right here. Because I'm preaching Christ crucified. Am I not? Preaching Christ crucified. And it's in fulfillment of a prophet who said that in that day there shall be opened a fountain for the sin and iniquity of Israel. A fountain shall be opened. And it was. A Roman soldier made sure of that with his spear and with malice aforethought. Took his spear and drove it into the precious side of the Savior and fulfilled Scripture. He opened a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Where is Calvary? It's right here, right now. Now come with me to Calvary. Come with me to Calvary. Behold him on that tree. Behold this Jesus of Nazareth. Despised of men. Forsaken by friends. Rejected by God. Suffering in the place instead of sinners. Crucified cruelly. Torturously. And accursedly crucified by people like you and me, crucified there. Take a good look at him, and maybe you can sing at the cross where I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. All because there they crucified him. Now come to him right now.